Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We have been talking about just reviewing the scriptural references that we've already been talking about before we get into the real practical application of what we learned over the different sections, the different time periods through which the scriptures describe our relationship to tithing and our relationship to money. And just last week we were talking about the Law of Moses and the conclusions we've drawn from that. I just want to revisit quickly the conclusion we want to draw when we talk about tithing that's taught today so often. The great mistake is in separating tithing from the rest of the law. When it's taught that don't worry about animal sacrifices, how you wear your clothes, what you wear, where you worship, what you worship, how you relate. When tithing, to tithe, the verb as of the law, when that is separated out from the rest of the law, that is the great mistake. There's no place for that in the scriptures. And again, if we're using the scriptures, we have to use the whole scripture. So to use one part to justify what is a demand of the whole, it's like saying, I'm going to give you, if you have children, you perhaps have a chore list, that if they do their chore list, they get their allowance. And say you have 10 things or 6 things on the list. You have to make your bed every morning. You have to finish your homework. You have to take care of the dog. You have to put the dinner dishes away. Whatever your list is. Then, if you do all those things, then you will get your weekly allowance. Well, if that child came to you and picked the last thing on the list and said, I've done this, so now I get the next line, which is, I get my weekly allowance, you'd say, no, you have to do everything on the list, and then you'll get your weekly allowance. Well, that's the same thing that is true with tithing, is you have to do everything on the list in order to receive blessings from God, in order to receive the relationship that is described there. And this is the big, big problem with Malachi, and there's other problems with other scriptural references. We've talked in great detail about people say, well, that tithing it predates the law, you know, that Abram and Jacob tithed. And hopefully by now you realize, no, they didn't. They gave. It just happened to have been a tenth. And all the other characteristics of law or covenant does not apply to what Abram and Jacob did. Because in both of those circumstances, God did not say, if you do, I will do. Abram was already sacrificing to idols, to other gods when God made himself real to him. All he did was transfer who he was sacrificing to. So the sacrificing and giving 10% is not anywhere at all exclusive to the Judaic tradition. It was very common. And all he did was transfer it to God. And God never said to do this. And he definitely didn't say it to Jacob. God made a promise. It was an unconditional promise. He said, I will restore you to your homeland, and I will bless you, and I will do this, this, and this. But because Jacob did not have a renewed heart, he put conditions on it. That, God, if you do this, then I will give a tenth of all my goods to you. And again, we don't have any record that he ever did that, that he ever followed through on that. The point is that tithing is our problem. Our resistance or to change or to even investigating whether we should be tithing or not is an indicator of a hang-up we have about being able to receive unconditionally from God. It's our problem, not his. He's clear. He's clear about his nature, his generosity. Again, his basic nature is to give. And when you're dealing with a situation, when you're dealing with a struggle on how to get your arms around a question or a person even, or a circumstance, a situation, remind yourself, remind yourself of God's nature, which is now your nature. God's nature, your nature, at the very core, is to give. And we remind ourselves, for God so loved, he gave. Now we need to learn how to do that. We have this idea that giving is just responding to a need. And that's not what giving is. That's irresponsible. So the process of learning how to give with wisdom, with a full awareness of cooperation with what God is doing in a person's life, we have to know what God is doing or what God wants us to do. And the only way to do that is to ask God. And that's what we'll be getting into as we move forward. But that's the difference. That's where we run into so many problems with what we've been taught, is we're taught that I was even told this by a minister I knew, that God, that Jesus, his death and resurrection, didn't fulfill all the law and only fulfilled part of the law. And you can't separate. There's no partial law. It's all or nothing. If you are either living according to the law and suffering the consequences of breaking all the law, or you're living under grace, you're either a spirit being or you're not. Now, that law mentality in which we try to control God, ourselves, and others, we're being freed from that in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. But in your spirit, you're not at all bound by those beliefs. So you are already living a spirit life. Now again, the law, God created the law for man, not the other way around. The law has a purpose. And it does that purpose very well. And that's to bring us, to show us our limitations. That even when we think or do fulfill the law, it doesn't change us from a dead spirit being to a living spirit being. The purpose of the law is to show us our need for Christ, for being re-spirited, regardless of our knowledge, our strength, our understanding of the law, or our achieving of it. So the purpose of the law is to reveal the weakness of the law. It's absolute weakness. The law cannot change us. So once we see that, we can only accept the new life that God gives us. So we are in no ways condemning or upbraiding the law. We are recognizing it for exactly what it is. Made, created, given for a purpose. And once that purpose is fulfilled, the law is not destroyed. We just don't need it anymore. It's not something we've even outgrown. It's we have been changed, and it no longer applies to our identity. Because our relationship with God has changed. Not because the law has changed. We have changed. Our relationship to the law is what was crucified. Our spirit relationship with God comes through the resurrection. And just as we were crucified with him, with Christ, we are resurrected in him. So the law is still there. But if you're a new spirit being, if you've been resurrected, it's not for you. It's as if you traveled to England and you tried driving your car on the right side of the road. You'd cause an accident. Because there are different laws there. So when we try to apply the law of a dead spirit to us as living spirits, they don't apply. Now, fortunately, God is gracious and merciful in giving us time to catch up. But one of my favorite examples in the scriptures is the story of Enoch, who took what God was showing him and ran with it, and did not wait for the proper time to know God. He pursued God out of time and let him reveal himself to him in any way he chose. Did not let his beliefs or the age he lived in constrain his understanding of God. And we'll go into maybe a fuller story of the ramifications of what happened with Enoch some other time. But what we want to get across is we're not attacking the law. We're not rejecting or rebuking or criticizing the law. We're just seeing it has a purpose, and that purpose has been fulfilled. Now, to continue to try to maintain that purpose, we are going to be open to deception, to wounds, and to misunderstanding and mishearing what God is saying. our quick analogy of that is just, for instance, in salvation itself. Through Adam, a debt was incurred by all mankind. Through the law, when, for instance, picture a bank, and God is the teller, and you owe a debt, and by fulfilling all the laws that were given, you would make your monthly payment. You'd bring your animal sacrifices. You'd go through the law, and you'd make the payments. But all you were ever doing was paying the monthly payments. You were never getting anywhere in paying off the debt that was owed. Well, Jesus comes along, and he doesn't make a payment. He settles the debt. Say you've been putting down $10 a month, and it's a bazillion dollar debt, and so you're never going to get anywhere. But he comes along and pays off the bazillion dollars. God behind the desk, he stamps that bill, paid in full, and he files it. And since all that bank was there for was to deal with debt, and now there is no debt, it's been paid off, he shuts the door. He locks up, and he walks away. It's finished. The debt has been paid off. But now, if you come back the next month expecting to pay on your debt, guess what? You don't find a building with doors that have been locked, with a big sign on it says paid in full, because we have enemies. And your enemies have reopened that building and have reopened the drive-thru so you can make deposits real easily. And your enemy is across the window and is accepting your payments. So you can continue to do the same thing, but it's not to the same God. And when we realize how we've been hoodwinked, and God's not going to let you continue, so don't worry. Part of what's going on in your life right now is because he's showing you areas where you are believing lies, where you are trying to meet expectations or achieve certain maturity levels. And he's saying, I didn't say that. I never told you you needed to do this. I never told you you needed to do that. So we have to learn where a lot of these beliefs come from in our own mind. As he shows, he will draw your attention. And one thing to remember is that something that may be important to you may not be important to anybody else, and vice versa. Your whole group may be really focusing on one area, and God may not be talking to you about that at all. It's amazing how much God has to say when we let him speak to us, when we let him make his voice aware in our consciousness. Because remember, in your spirit, he is already communicating with you perfectly and clearly every moment of the day. So the process is what's important, not achieving some level or goal or awareness or ministry or anything. It's the process. Are you turning to him first? Are you learning to hear him clearly more and more? And it's not just about praying and getting an answer, but that's where we start. But it's about recognizing that as he clears away our flesh, the process of hearing him is no longer a two-step process. It becomes one as we become one. You know, when you think of a stream or a river, and there are rocks in the river, and the water flows down and hits a rock or a ledge, and you get a little waterfall. So there's two layers there, and you can see there's a little bump in the road. Well, that's God communicating to us. His communication is always flowing, but sometimes there are bumps in the road. And we want to find those bumps. Not so we can work harder in getting him to communicate more clearly, but so we will interrupt his communication less. We don't have to talk God into communicating with us. Remember, his nature is to give. Give of himself. That's why he created you, was so he could pour himself into someone like him. And he's more and more changing you, not because he's disappointed with you, not because you've missed him, or you're behind or whatever, but because that's who he is. He has created you to receive what he wants to give you. And he can only do that fully. He can only give himself fully into those who are like him. That's why you're a son and not a slave, not a vessel, not a friend. You are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit, seed of his seed. So he can give himself fully to you. We're in process, and it takes a while, but as you get this, and there are things we can do to speed up the process, but our first mental shift has to be that we are willing to give up our beliefs and know that only God can keep us from being deceived. That seems to be such a fear, that if we don't know what we believe, we'll believe anything. Well, that's setting up the boundary that we have control over what we believe. And there's going to be things that God reveals to you that he is going to ask you to accept without understanding them, without confirmation, without them making sense, but based on your relationship with him. That if he gives it to you, it's good for you. It's right. It's life. But if we think what's most important is that our beliefs are lined up right, what is your focus on? It's on you. It's on what you believe. And that's one of those stones that has to be removed before God's life, his communication, can flow through your spirit to your soul uninterrupted. So again, just to quickly recap what we talked about last week, You can't separate, you can't divide the law. It's all or nothing. To think that you're going to get a blessing out of God by doing any aspect of the law, you're going to have to fulfill the whole law. You're misunderstanding what he, again, using the scriptures, what the scriptures say about the law. So when you're being taught to tithe, if it's not in the context of the whole law, you can just, you know, ignore it because it's being misrepresented. Even the scriptures, even the law is being misrepresented. And again, why is this also important? Because money is important to us and resources is important because it's such a major factor in our lives. The three main areas, our health, our relationships, and our finances. Those are the areas where God gets our attention. And in each one of those areas, the organized religion has put up their own interpretations of the law in order to keep us focused on them, those in organized religion, our so-called leaders and those in so-called authority, get their control, get their needs met by telling us that they are the ones who are the interpreters of God. They are the ones who will tell you what to believe. And we get this, we're even told that they are responsible for our souls. And God's going to hold them account for our souls. And that's just total aggrandizement. That's feeding their ego, their flesh. And we need to learn to recognize it and not feed into it. So then in Malachi, there's after the law description, the legal descriptions of tithing, over time there were additions added to what was written down in the five books. So as a summary of the additions to the law of Moses, the most common is the whole book of Malachi. Tithing is always mentioned as a part of the whole. And tithing is still a requirement to fulfill the law of Moses. So when we look at the additions to the law, it wasn't a substitute. It was an addition. And that's part of the nature of legalism. Not just the law, but legalism, is there will always be something more you have to do. Because you'll never be able to do enough to change yourself. And that's the purpose of the law, is to show you that. Then there's also an emphasis on caring for those in ministry, the poor and the widow and the foreigner. But that's true throughout the scriptures. So when there's an emphasis on tithing, that if you don't tithe, who's going to pay for the pastor's salary or for the caring of the church or for those in need within the congregation or in the community? Well, absolutely, but you don't have to tithe to do that. You need to learn how to give. Then finally, as the time draws near, as history comes through the scriptures, coming to the coming of this Messiah, the scriptures reflect God's coming to an end with letting the law define his relationship with his people. As long as the law is in effect, he can only have a surface relationship with his people, and he declares that. He refers again and again to giving his people a new heart with his commandments written on their hearts. So it's not doing rightly because they have to, but because it is now in their heart to do it. It is natural because he changes their nature. So we see how God in the scriptures concludes the effects of tithing. And we'll pick it up there next week. You can always get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org. And always visit our blog there at wecanprepare.org. Again, we're still in transition, figuring out the best way to incorporate some new technology. So it's developing slowly, but I think it will really be worth it. We're going to be really focusing on doing some personal ministry, so do stay tuned. And I thank you for your patience. Until we meet again, this has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.